How many of you, like me, find yourself caught off guard when the Christmas season comes around every year? And it does come around once a year. We know that by now, right? It will come around once a year. Have we discovered that to be the case? But how many of you, like me, before you know it, it's that time again? Do you find yourself in that way? I don't know if it's an angst to you or a glory to you, what your mindset is. But it's that way with me. I guess, you know, the older you get, it comes around a little more rapidly. But it seems like each year, without fail, one of my daughters will say, "Dad, when are we going to get the tree? You know, when are we going to get the tree?" And I'm like, "Huh? What? I'm like, "Is it December?" You know, and before you know it, it's just on you. You know, you may be prepping for it or you may not, but it's like without fail, one of my three, "When are we going to get the tree?" And all of a sudden, there it is. It's on you. It's that time. December is here. And it feels like I'm thinking, we just put it up. It was just a couple days ago, didn't we? We just put it up and it felt like just a few days ago we just put it up and brought it all back down, et cetera. 365 days just appears to get shorter and shorter, it seems to me, as time goes on. But Christmas will kind of sneak up on you. I know, since we have a couple of Filipinas here, in the Philippines, they start Christmas very early. Any month that ends in BER, they feel like they are absolutely legitimized to begin celebrating the season. And so September, October, November, they can begin. And years ago when I was a boy, you had to get through Thanksgiving first, and then you could go ahead and turn the corner and get into Christmas. And then I remember going to the Philippines once or twice a year for 10 years. They would wait and at least get Halloween in October out of the way, and then they would strike. But now it's any month with Burr. So isn't that right? In September, if you go through Galleria or go through Mega Mall, they've already started celebrating and putting everything up. And I think it's great. I mean, if it were up to me, I think let's just celebrate it year-round. What a great time of the year. But again, we normally would try to get through Thanksgiving first, but it felt like as soon as I put my fork down this year from eating turkey, like a conspiracy hit from every side, Christmas is now. It's right now. And I knew that I was going to board a plane on December 1st, so I thought I've got to get moving now because I'm going to be gone from December 1st to December 9th, so I better start getting it all done now before getting airborne. Incidentally, concerning Christmas and the desire to not get caught up in all the trappings, to the contrary, we did a series a couple of years ago, December of 2011, that a couple of people have asked about, really honoring the traditions of Christmas and why the Christmas tree and why the mistletoe and why the wreath and why the candy cane and why the carols. Because many times we're told don't get caught up in the trappings. But if you go back to the original intent of what these icons or symbols were depicting, they were used as a icon to make a gospel presentation. And in this series, and you can go back on the podcast to get it, we reflected on Germany and some of the traditions that came to us from Germany. Toby, wherever you are, thank you for your contribution. Martin Luther, he would hang the Christmas tree upside down from the roof. It would create a triangle. And from that, he would roll out the theology of the Trinity, God the Father, Son, and Spirit. The mistletoe being evergreen. And when the Vikings would come through the woods and they'd see these evergreen trees and this, you know, mistletoe is basically a fungus. Y'all know that, even though we celebrate it. But this greenery in the tree that just would not die, they would stand down from battle because it was a phenomenon to them that in the midst of a harsh winter, in the midst of death, life would live. And so again, these things were used as preaching points that against the backdrop of death, Christ brings forth new life. And so I think it's good just to study these stories, but we have that available. But just a little digression here. My most memorable Christmas tree story was 2 years ago, 2 or 3 years ago, and we had put up the tree and had heavily decorated it. You know, the lights go on first. Men, you got to put on the lights. That's your job. Don't expect the woman to get up on that stepladder. Get those lights, get it all decked out. Then after that, you can let them help decorate. But you never throw on tinsel, never. You place tinsel if you even use tinsel. There's a protocol to these things. They're very important. But anyway, we had the tree completely decked out. And I'm sitting on the couch, and I'm watching this program. And as I'm looking, the TV's here, the Christmas tree's here, and it's as if in slow motion, I'm watching our tree fall right in the floor, coming right. I mean, it's like it's in slow motion. I'm like, this is this really happening? You know, and because those things don't happen, right? I mean, it'd be like a chair flying, you know, and they're like, am I seeing this right? But I'm watching this heavily decorated tree fall right before me with the tip of the tree landing on the coffee table right in front. And I'm just like, guy, is this really? And sure enough, water coming out of the tree stand all over the oriental carpet and the lights and ornaments just being flung off. I mean, not just kind of softly lying down. I mean, just because when it was coming down, it was being flung and just stuff flying off. I'm like, you gotta be kidding me. So anyway, we tilted that bad boy up, got it secured, filled it back with water, and had to pull everything off and start all over again because it was all just gnarled and in a ball. So we thought we're gonna have to start all over again, putting the lights on first, getting it wrapped, put all the ornaments on. But of course, we had a three-sided tree in that there's a wall there, and so most of the ornaments are going to be on the front, thereby weighting it down, thereby causing it to crack. So we took the time, just, you know, mumbling the whole time under our breath, to get it all put together again. Whew, got it done. A couple days later, I kid you not, I lie not. A couple days later, minding my own business, and all of a sudden I'm like, you got to be kidding me. Here it comes again. I just thought, I mean, throwing off the lights, throwing off the ornaments. I mean, I felt like Chevy Chase and that National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation. I mean, everything just kind of coming unglued, as it were. Couldn't believe. So this time, my lightning fast mind, I thought, we're going to fix this. So I stripped it again, second time. Took the tree out and found a Christmas tree base this big. I thought, that thing, that booger ain't tipping over again. I'm going to fill it with concrete, you know. But anyway, found a big old base, filled it with water, and hadn't had an issue since. But that's kind of my memorable Christmas tree story. And so, again, happened twice in 1 year. But back to the point here, Christmas just seems to sneak up each year, unannounced, way before we're ready. And sometimes we might be tempted to yell, not yet. I'm not ready. Not ready. When I was a campus minister at Duke University, the dean of the chapel, Dr. Will Williman, he declared and made a statement once. He said, Christmas is a delightful disruption of the way things normally go. I thought, Christmas is a delightful disruption of the way things normally go. And I began to ponder that phrase, delightful disruption. A disruption, yes, but delightful, yes, a delightful disruption. I found that God does stuff like that also. God will disrupt. God will interrupt. God, unannounced as it seems, will break in. God will just take it upon himself to just kind of just nuzzle right in your business. You ever found God up in your business before? God will just, and many times it is announced, but because we're unprepared, it appears unannounced, but it is announced, but he'll just break in. We never seem to be ready for it. Even when we cry out for God to come, even when he does, it takes us by surprise many times. But that's a lot like God. He'll flat break in. And so the burden on us is to make room for him. His coming is unannounced, then it is announced. Again, feeling off guard, it feels unannounced. Even announced, we can still feel like a deer in the headlight. I mean, just imagine what the second coming of the Lord is going to be like, what it's going to feel like for the unprepared. And you can read the parable of the 10 virgins, 5 wise, 5 unwise. They were all virgins, 5 prepared, 5 unprepared, 5 trimmed their lamps, had the oil, 5 did not. They could not borrow oil from one another. They had to go to the source to get the oil. And there's plenty of oil where oil comes from if we'll go to the Lord in that way. But again, delightful disruption. Can we say that together? Delightful disruption. Luke 2 is the famous Christmas chapter. Most of us grew up on it, loving to hear it. Loving to hear it read. How many of y'all like hearing it read in the majestic King James? And they were sore afraid. Not just afraid, sore. And lo, not behold, but and lo, an angel, you know. And so there's just something about the beauty and the majesty of the King James Version. But within this narrative, we find shepherds, ordinary men. This isn't a white-collar community here. It's shepherds, ordinary men with very ordinary jobs, minding their own business. And then here comes this disruption, this delightful disruption. Now, why shepherds were chosen to be part of the story, I don't know. Why we were chosen to be part of his story, I don't know. But I do know we were chosen. I said, and I do know we were chosen. Luke 2, are you there yet? Join me in verse 8. We'll just cut right into the narrative where the shepherds come in. Verse 8, and there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. We also pick up in verse 15, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what they had been told them about this child. And all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which they were told, which were just as they had been told. So firstly, an angel of the Lord appears. Now, that's not normal fare, is it? I mean, that happens on occasion, but it's not normative. It happens, but it's not normal. And so an angel appeared. It wasn't in their schedule or their itinerary that day. It wasn't like, all right, take the sheep out, you know, feed the sheep, corral the sheep, pick a few ticks off, angel breaks in, eat, go. No, it's just, it was very, very out of the ordinary, not normative. And when God breaks in, it's hard to be cavalier because it's not always standard fare. This was not the part of a shepherd's life. Secondly, it says that the glory of the Lord shone around them. Again, this is no small thing. This is the very essence of God, what in the Old Testament is referred to as the kabod, the weighty glory of God. The essence of God came near to them. Again, not normative, but available. And they had this encounter. Thirdly, it says they were terrified. Well, sure. Absolutely, sure. Then fourthly, the angel said, so the angel didn't just appear, the angel actually spoke. It'd be enough to appear, but he actually spoke. Don't be. They were terrified. He said, no, don't be. Don't be afraid. We know that angels are heavenly beings and they stand before the Lord night and day. And they come from that context and they come from that presence down to fallen humanity and they begin to interact with mere humanoids. I mean, our hair would be up too, like, dear me, it's not God, but it's a representative of God having had proximity to God. And all of a sudden, heaven draws real near. It's wonderful, but it's dreadful all in the same breath. That's why Joel talks about the great and the dreadful day of the Lord. People that talk about the coming of the Lord in a cavalier way have never had that kind of experience because it's great, but it's dreadful. It's scary. It's great, but scary. And you live in the tension, you see. So far, we have a disruption, but it's not yet turned delightful yet. But then the angel begins to comfort, fifthly, and says, I bring you good news of great joy. They're terrified. He goes, no, I'm bringing good news. Good, can you say good news? Good news. We just heard about joy here, of not just joy, great joy. That reminds me of the women that were at the empty tomb when the, quote, gardener was saying, he's not here, he is risen. It reads, afraid yet filled with joy, they ran from that place. You say, how do you integrate and how do you reconcile both emotions? You can have both. Afraid yet filled with joy. And it says, it will be for all the people. Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in clothes and lying in a manger. Sixthly, suddenly a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, first of all, you have an angel. That's intense enough. Now all his buddies come. I mean, his huckleberry. I mean, all of it, my running buddies, you know, shotgun, who's coming with me? Now, you know, it's like all the dudes come now with him, and they begin to erupt into this heavenly chorus, glory to God. Now they're singing, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests. Again, not a normal day in the life of a lowly shepherd. That's what we would call an interesting day on the job. Unexpected, unannounced, yet announced. A delightful disruption. The origin was beyond them and out of their hands. And I've got to hand it to them, though. They didn't just stand there starstruck. They didn't just stand there angel-struck, as it were. But they allowed the interruption to create an action point in their lives and through their lives. They could have just shaken their head and just looked at one another like, dear Lord, did you feel that? Ooh, did you feel that? I felt that. Did you see? I saw that. Did you hear that, man? I heard that. And they could have just sat around for hours just talking about, dear me, did you feel? Ooh, man, feel that right there. See those hairs? Ooh, I mean, they could have just sat around there, man. Now let's go over it again. You know, and they could have been there in a huddle just talking about, man, I had never in my born days. And they could have just continued to confer for minutes and hours and days and years. But no, they got up and they acted on the visitation. They acted on the disruption. The disruption now disrupts them even more as they left where they were to go do what they were told. In verse 15, again, in this narrative, it says, when the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, what? Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about. Verse 16, what? So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. They had an encounter, but with the encounter, instruction came and they acted on it. There was urgency in their obedience versus an indifferent cavalier malaise. They acted on it. Now, that reminds me of those that would be encountered by Jesus when he walked on the earth. And again, people had to take by faith that he was who he said he was. But remember Peter and Andrew, and remember the Zebedee boys, James and John, they were working in their dad's fishing business. They had a business. They were busy. They were occupying. They weren't just bored and clueless with nothing to do. They had a family business there. But in Matthew 4, 18 through 22, it reads, as Jesus was walking beside the Sea of Galilee, he saw two brothers, Simon called Peter and his brother Andrew. They were casting a net into the lake, for they were fishermen. Again, they were minding their own business here. Come follow me, Jesus said, and I will make you fishers of men. What does it say? At once, they left their nets and followed him. Now, that wasn't my story. When God began to draw me, I'm like, I got to think about this thing a little bit now. I got to confer. I got to analyze. I mean, I got into the paralysis of analysis. Let's think about it one more time. Let's talk to one more person. What it was God was calling me to die, and that was hard, and I was just trying to figure it out, and I was winding around. And he dealt a death blow by that call, but I was still trying to interpret and still trying to train. It took 9 months until finally I said, done, pinned, you've got me, I'll do it. There was a counting of the cost. There was a Garden of Gethsemane. So I really tip my hat to these guys because Jesus came. They thought there was something different about him. He called them. They dropped what they were doing, and at once they left their business. Their nets speak of their business. This was no small thing. And he just walked off, and they're probably thinking, I hope this is who I think it is because I'm at better work because I'm leaving everything. I'm pulling no punches. I'm putting it all on the line on this man. Going on from there as the story continues, he saw two older brothers, James, son of Zebedee, and his brother John. They were in a boat with their father Zebedee, preparing their nets. Jesus called them in what? And immediately, can you say immediately? Immediately, they left the boat. Again, this is their business. And it says they left the boat, their business, they left their father, that's their family. And they what? They followed him. See, when God breaks in, no time seems or feels convenient. When God comes in, when God disrupts, when God breaks in, it's not on the calendar, is it? It's like, well, I got a pot roast in the... And remember the excuses in the New Testament? I just bought some land. I need to go see it. Well, sweetheart, if you bought it, didn't you see it before you put the money down? I just bought a cow. Okay? I mean, that and the bus ticket will get you right on the butt. What does that mean, I bought a cow? I just got married. Well, bring them too. You know, but we're just funny. God breaks in, a delightful disruption, a divine interruption. And it's like, can I get back with you? You see, the shepherds... In Luke 2, they honored the disruption, and they said, let us go, and they hurried off. See, God had a plan, but it wasn't just for the shepherds. Anytime God calls us, it's not merely about us. It's also going to affect another people. It's also going to affect someone else. So our response or lack of response is not just about ourselves, but it's also about someone else who's going to be the benefactor of a blessing. Are we here? And so we're not an end. We could be a means to what God's trying to perform as an end. But he had a plan. And it wasn't just for the shepherds themselves to be wowed by the whole sensational experience. But their encounter ended in evangelism. God will disrupt us to see and behold him, yes, but also to help another. He'll break in and wow us. Woo, man, that was intense. Not just for us, but to carry that experience to impact someone else. It's never just about us. It's always to be given away. It's always to be given away. It's through giving that we receive. Paul said, what I receive from the Lord, I now give to you. That's the essence of Christianity. What I receive, I now give. What I encounter, I now give. I receive this here. You take that. Do we see it? And so in verse 17, it says, when they had seen him, they what? They spread the word concerning what they had been told them about the child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds, what, said to them. So they actually opened their mouth. You're thinking, these are shepherds. They're not gifted in oratory. They're not eloquent. I mean, you know, no, but they were so impacted. It's like, I don't care if I stutter. I don't care if I butcher the King's English. I will not be silent. I encountered this. The angel of the Lord came by. We went and we saw the Christ child ourselves. We must tell what we have seen and heard. We must. It's not about me. It's not about presentation. It's not about what I am. It's not about what I'm not. I'm merely a steward and a carrier of this revelation that first came to me. It came to me out of nowhere. Much is given, much is required. You feel like God bothers you a lot? See that as a compliment. He came to you, visited you. View that as a stewardship, holy unto the Lord. And they began to tell everyone. They were amazed by what the shepherds said. I believe many times we're disrupted, interrupted by the Lord to stop, turn aside, and to speak to this person, that person. Usually, it's not convenient. In the same way Christmas breaks in, God breaks in. We pick up our cross, not our convenience. It was certainly that way for Peter and Andrew, James and John. I can remember Elizabeth and I, when in just one moment, God just supernaturally communicated to us, we're going to pack bags and move to Guam. Just, it was one of those things that was all on God, very clear, crystal. And then the very next day, finding myself in my parents' living room in Wilson just saying, Mom, Dad, we're moving to Guam. It's like, they didn't understand it. It's like, take a ticket, stand in line. I don't understand it either. But the word came. And it was just, it's not like, figure it all out, then come follow me. How many of you know that our separation with the Lord is not an intellectual separation? There's a moral separation. So many times we have to act on imperfect information, and we have to act on what He gives us. And many times it's a sliver. Many times it's a bit of illumination when we're asking for the panoramic. God said, not given the panoramic, but I'm going to give you enough light until the day. And so we walk in that light, and as we're faithful in that light, God breaks it open. It's this whole walk we call faith. The shepherds didn't then walk around like depressed, pious martyrs because of this interruption. But verse 20 says, the shepherds returned what? Glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told. It became an honor to them to be disrupted. Is it to you and I? They deemed it as an honor. They skipped about, glorifying God. What happened to their sheep? I don't know. They could have run over a cliff. They could have been eaten by wolves. Probably full of ticks. Who knows? I mean, it's just like, look, we'll get new sheep. That's not a problem. The king knocked on my door today. The king summoned me today. We'll figure all that out later. You know, all I know is the king. And I don't know that he'll knock again. I don't know, but that his knock might get fainter and fainter. So I, by the help of God, want to heed that which I feel. I cherish this as precious. That's why I encourage people to journal and to keep a journal by your bedside. Allow God to wake you up at night. If he does, it's a compliment. He wants to talk. And then when you write it down, it's saying, I care about what you're saying. I don't want to lose it. Illumination is precious and revelation is valuable. I don't want to miss it. I live on your words. I hang and move and have my being on your very word. Speak, for your servant listens. Speak to me, and by your grace I'll do it. Your words are precious. We don't take it for granted. They didn't feel presumed upon in this moment. It was an honor to be messed with. God is in the business of messing with people. He'll mess in your affairs unannounced. He'll just come in. Christmas is here. Get up the tree. It's here. You're like, what? Who? What? What? You know? It's like, no, it's now. He's here now. His grace is here right now. Faith is now. His ability is here now. His presence is now. It's today. Salvation is now. Deliverance is now. Breakthrough is now. His provision is now. Arise and shine, for his light is come. For your light is come. Yes, darkness dwells on the land, deep darkness on the people, but a glory has arisen on the earth. And he's got a name. Yeshua. HaMashiach, Jesus, the anointed one, the Christ, the Savior, the merciful one. So it was an honor for these lowly shepherds to be disrupted. Oh, God. It's amazing how God always comes to the lowly. Here's the thing. We don't know but that God didn't appear to someone else who didn't respond. We don't know that. He could have, and maybe there was no response. But God knows who will respond and who won't in his economy. He knows. He knows who will, you see. It's interesting side note that in Luke 2, when the narrative from the angel says, today in the town of what? Of whom? Today in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. In the town of who? In the town of David. These shepherds were tending sheep in the same fields David was tending sheep. Bethlehem was David's city. He was out in the fields of Bethlehem also as a shepherd, the same fields. When he was petitioned and anointed by Samuel the prophet to be king to a nation, appointed to lead a nation from shepherd boy to king, also based on a disruption. We're starting to see that being bothered is not altogether a bad thing. Shepherds were near the bottom of the social order of ancient Israel, often poor, often uneducated, often quite young, yet God cared to bother them. Again, aren't you glad God broke in and bothered you? He came to me at the most inopportune time of building my kingdom, building my reputation, it was the worst of times. Everything was so right. And then he goes, now. He may come to you when you're low. He may come to you when you're high. But the bottom line is, in the headline is, he comes. Thank God. The shepherds were somewhat outcast. Yet the good news of Christmas comes to them first. Amazing. God comes to the forgotten people of the earth. Therefore, they receive the news with great joy, not indifference. Again, if God bothers you, see it as a compliment. If he's disturbing you to talk to you, see it as a compliment. As I said earlier, if he begins to wake you up in the night, see that as a divine compliment. If he asks of you to give more than others, view that as an honor to be esteemed. The high-minded have no time for the Lord, yet the poor in spirit welcome him as an honored guest. I've been to Israel. I've been in Jerusalem. I've been in Bethlehem. Bethlehem is merely a stone's throw away from Jerusalem. It's merely 5 minutes south of Jerusalem. I mean, just a few minutes away. Herod, we know, had been told by the chief priests and teachers of the law the Messiah was to be born in Bethlehem, quoting Micah 5:2. yet was too dull to pick up on it, too indifferent, and missed the most important event in world history because they couldn't be bothered. Shepherds were different, however. Again, maybe we feel pulled on. Maybe you feel pulled on, yet always feel pulled on. You see the compliment? To the one who has, more will be given. To much is given, what? Much is required. You say, I'm being pulled on all the time. What about those other folk? See it as a compliment. See it as a compliment. You've heard before, if you want to get anything done, go to a busy person. To the one who has, more will be. Why is he always pulling on me? Why are they always coming to me? No. Why are they always knocking on my door? See it as a compliment that you're worthy to be bothered. Because God knows your reaction. You're like, I've given all I can give. Oh, there's a little bit more in that toothpaste tube. There's a little bit more. Here it comes. See, God will fill us to empty us. Then he'll fill us and empty us, fill us. So, and we say we want to be used. That's what we say. I feel used. Well, you said you want to be used. See it as a compliment. See it as a compliment. I mean, in a lot of organizations, it is true that 20% of the people do 80% of the work. But to the 20%, it's a compliment that God would bother, disrupt, interrupt, and tap you again and again and again and again. The thing to fear is when he stops knocking. That's the scary place. Hadn't heard from the Lord in a while. Not being pulled on. That's the scary place. It's when the voice of the Lord is not heard, when the pull is not there. See it as a compliment. The more we allow God to disrupt us, the more he will disrupt us, for he looks for willing vessels. He will stretch us and stretch us and stretch us, then heal us, then restore us and prepare us for the next round. And then he'll do it again, then he'll do it again. We say we want to be used. We're filled to be emptied, to be filled again. It's amazing, again, that God came to these lowly shepherds first. The scripture says the meek will inherit the earth. Those that are last shall be first. The economy of God, who would figure? Here he comes, ready or not. Here he comes, delightful disruption. Oh, that we would honor God today, that he cares enough to break in. Oh, that we would recognize his visitation and thank him for drawing near, and that we would respond like the shepherds, that we might behold the miracle of his coming. So we trim our lamps this season, church, for he comes. For he comes. Merry Christmas. Amen. Let's stand up together. Lord, we thank you for your divine interruption. Lord, we thank you for delightful disruption. Lord, even as Christmas, it felt like it came mighty early this year. Lord, thank you for your coming. Lord, thank you even how you broke in on the lives of these shepherds, these lowly shepherds. Lord, out of nowhere, seemingly. But Lord, you used them and allowed them to behold the Christ child. And also, Father, you used them and allowed them, Lord, to begin to herald and to begin to talk about what you had done. Lord, I just want to say right now, just thank you for bothering us. To whatever degree, Lord, you've broken it, thank you. Lord, to whatever degree we feel pulled upon, thank you for the privilege of that. To whatever degree we ever feel spent, thank you for the privilege of that. Lord, for the times of feeling there is nothing else in the tank, thank you for the honor of being pulled on. Lord, if we've counseled until we're blue in the face, prayed until there's no more unction left, given until there seems to be nothing left, thank you for the privilege of the knock. Thank you, oh God. And Lord, we just want to be those candidates that you can come back to as often as you desire. Thank you for that, that privilege, that stewardship. Thank you, Lord. And Father, I just pray we'd have the disposition that these shepherds did. Lord, you knew who would respond. You knew. You knew. And may we have that heart in us that was in Christ Jesus, that even though being God, regarded equality of God, not something to be grasped, but emptied himself and took on the very nature of a servant. Therefore now, Lord, you've exalted him and given him the name above every name, that at that name every knee will bow, every tongue will confess. Lord, don us in the garments of a servant, we pray. We just pray more of your visitation, more of your divine interruption, more of your delightful disruption in our life, in our marriage, in our family, in our business. Whatever you want to do, Lord, we say yes by faith. Whatever you want to do, if you were to say, take a right here, take a left here, stop that, go here, do that. With your help, Lord, we give you our yes by faith. Thank you for the honor. Thank you for the honor. Thank you for the honor. In Jesus' name.